Good morning, and a little bit later today, welcome to Tuesday, the 13th of November, 2012. Apologies for the glasses, but I've noticed I'm squinting in all the other videos, so if you can't see my eyes, there they are, and we'll go through this program fairly quickly today. It's good for radio, I suppose. The first link is the Liquorize booklet for today, which is bit.ly/L4LNews13-11-12. And our first section is the events section, and you can't fail to see the WISE, Building the Future of Education site up there. There's a live stream and other various bits and pieces. It'll take you a long time to look through that site, but if you're interested in the future of education and the big summit that's been held at Qatar, go along to bit.ly/_WISE, and that'll take you to the site and you can see everything that's happening there. Okay, moving quickly on, we're going to look at offline tools for recording practice. Now, a couple of sessions ago, someone on Twitter, I think it was Olotti, was talking to Zoe Ross 19 about teacher standards and using Evernote for evidence. And that was a really good idea. And Ian H on Twitter sort of talked about using that and building an evidence base, taking Google Docs. And I'd like to show you this audio boo. And this site is called IFTT, I-F-T-T-T, and it's a piece of code on the web that you can use to link different applications. So I thought I might show you how you could use it in the classroom. If you have Audio Boo, and there's my Audio Boo on my iPhone 5, if you actually recorded, and you have to have permission, obviously, in your school for the policy to do this, some conversation with children. So if I record here and wait for it to play, and I can say, "Hello, this is a quick test to Audio Boo." Pause that. Publish it. And save and upload. Hopefully you can see that. Okay. Now, I've got that online as an Audio Boo. But if I want to go to Evernote, and I've set up an Evernote for myself, and I want to push that to Evernote, I go to IFTT, which is interesting. Here we go. I'm going to check now. That's what I do. I check now, so I'm going to trigger it. And it should trigger the recipe. And if I go back to Evernote, I should get, if I refresh it, the Audio Boo. And there it is. And if I play it, it'll be the same Audio Boo. So there you go. That's one way of collecting evidence straight from your classroom, from your iPhone, straight into an Evernote online. And again, you could then archive that using the different notes. Okay, looking at the next link, again, I'm really interested in showing links that are useful specifically for teachers to pull evidence together. And then they can actually network out and show other people how to do that. So this is Class Droid. And this is bit.ly/ClassDroid. And it's a lovely application by John McClear. And if you don't know John McClear's site, it's mclear.co.uk. And he has an amazing Android application, which allows you to quickly take a picture of a student's work, grade it, and upload to pupils or class learning portfolio. So again, the same idea. Okay, the next one is SyncTube. Now, SyncTube is a really interesting site. It takes videos from all over the place, all over the web. Apologies for the big vans backing up outside, which you can probably hear. And this YouTube sort of skinner, it takes YouTube, it takes Blip TV, it takes Vimeo, SoundCloud, Ustream, Dailymotion, Justin TV, Twitch TV, Livestream, SlideShare, Imgur, and it allows you to create a room where people can all come and discuss in chat and see the actual video simultaneously. Now, I know you've got that in Google Hangouts, but this is quite good. I've set one up, and here's my room, and I'm going to click on my room, and I'm going to go to my room. And you can see I've set up this room with about 10 or 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11 videos to do with digital literacies that are going on in different universities. I can actually turn on the thumbnails or turn them off. I can make them as a list or not a list. I can lock my list. I can invite other people, give them a password to the room. I can turn on a webcam, which doesn't seem to happen at the moment. I can actually load a different URL. I can toggle my playlist to other playlists. I can skip this video and onto the next one. And basically, this allows people at distance to see the same video and to chat about it. Another really good tool, maybe not for in-school, but for teachers and for CPD, this is a nice, quick, easy tool. And that is bit.ly/SyncTube. Really recommend you go along and see that one. That's a really good one. Now, here's another one that does the same thing with text. And I have used this with children in school. It's etherpad.org. And John McClear has written lots of plugins for this as well. So if you go back to the John McClear site I mentioned earlier and see that, this allows you basically to go off and click on a web page, start a web page off, and have several people writing from computers simultaneously on the page. So you could have several children in class writing on their machines. And what I would do is put up the actual writing from the Etherpad site on a whiteboard. But you could also have people at distance contributing as well. And we did that. We put pupils in different classrooms. And now I just want to show you a quick video. If you're listening on audio, you'll get the gist. But I would really tune into the video on YouTube to see exactly what this works like, because it's a brilliant tool. Etherpad, go along. And here's the video. This is PrimaryPad, and this is a recording played back of the writing of two boys who were tasked with being the Spanish and their reactions to being beaten as the Armada. It's a lovely tool. It allows people to write synchronously. That's 4, 5, 6, 7, 16 people for the professional app, synchronously, all on the same page. So, as they put out their opinions about being beaten, I decided to jump in and give them several questions that would up the pace of the lesson, pump prime them, to go off and find information about the people and events around the Armada. As I did this, and I didn't do it very well because I've got a few typos there in my typing, I can see, but then it's a good diagnostic, they went off and found the information. And then we evolved it to getting the other groups, who were the English, to ask them a question that they had to find the answer to on the internet. And the question they asked them was, how long did Philip and Elizabeth reign? Which was quite interesting. And so they had to go off and find that information from at least three internet sites, so they could actually find the proper provenance for this information. So not only do they have to go off and respond to a question, they have to reflect on that question, find the core information, and bring it back to this particular writing task, which then has to go through a bit of reflectivity on their part, which is the nice bit about this particular tool. So as you can see coming up at the top there now, they're actually putting in 44 years Elizabeth, 42 years Philip. They've got that from answers.com. Then they've gone to Wikipedia and looked it up, probably the simple English Wikipedia. And then they're looking up both Elizabeth and Philip on Wikipedia, cross-referencing those core bits of provenance. And at the bottom, you can see they're putting in the actual information, which they can then take and put in to a class wiki of their own. Go along to that particular one, which is bit.ly/creativeT. And that'll show you exactly what I did with a group of children in class. Okay, the next section is reflective blogs for teachers. And that's that bundle is bit.ly.com/bundles/ibeams/G. And that will bring you along to two websites. One, Pedagogy on the Run, which is an amazing site, lovely site. And it's looking at what are good questioning strategies for teachers. And that is at bit.ly/teach questions. And it talks about different taxonomies, questions as learning objectives, different things that you can think about. And it also has a lovely video of Dylan William talking about the process. So really, really good. Go along there and have a good look at that. That actually, if I could find the link, is Francis Gilbert's blog. So Pedagogy on the Run. And the second blog, which really is an excellent blog, which has loads and loads of excellent posts, is Learning with Ease, which is Tim Buckteeth on Twitter, at Tim Buckteeth on Twitter, if I can keep my teeth in. And, of course, Steve Wheeler is Tim Buckteeth. And this is all about reasons teachers don't blog. So you should go along and have a look at both of those. And lastly, and I'm just going to be a very, very short broadcast this week. This is off the public service, publicservice.co.uk. It's a little article on why Michael Gove wants to share schoolchildren data. Obviously, he's talking about wanting to share the data for good reasons. We want to give organisations greater freedom to use extracts of data for wider purposes, while still ensuring its confidentiality and security. Obviously, he's using the excuse or the reason that researchers have to sort of go through so much red tape to get hold of this data that he wants to make it easier. But I also like the last couple of lines towards the end of the particular blog. It says, it could also help stimulate the market for innovative tools and services which present anonymized versions of the data, he added. Just a little thought there for you in terms of monetizing your data, our data that we have, and what he proposes to do with it. So I should keep a strong eye on that, because I'm really not a big fan of data that's actually confidential, opened out to commercial firms in that way, even if it is anonymized. Still not quite sure that that is capable, we're capable of doing that. And I hope you have another marvelous evening or morning, or whenever you listen to this podcast or look at it on YouTube or all the other various places that are online. And I wish you a good day. Bye now.